This morning's reading comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 10, and then moving on to verses 33 to 37. You can find it on page 121 of the Blue Bibles, if that's where you're looking. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for your decrees which reflect your character. And we pray now that as we think about this, as we reflect on it together, that, Lord, we would hear your heart and your decrees and know how you are calling us to keep them. Amen. So it's quite difficult to find a Bible passage about refugees. But what we do find is that even in the laws that God gave to his people in the wilderness, in the desert, he was expressing his heart, his compassion for those people who are vulnerable. What we see in this short reading, and it's kind of slightly pieced together from a much longer chapter, which goes through many different instructions that God gives to his people. But the sense that we have is twofold. First of all, to have God's compassion for the poor and the vulnerable. Now, gleaning is a bit of a kind of a farming concept. It's agricultural, and not many of us are experts or professionally, regularly involved in agricultural things. But we can all understand the concept of gleaning in all the things that we do. So God says very clearly from the very beginning of his instructions, his laws, his decrees, I want you to be compassionate to the poor. And he expresses that first and foremost to those who are in an agricultural context in the way that they can share what they have. And so he gives this instruction that when they are harvesting their fields, they should leave bits at the edges of their fields. And this is a very visual thing, isn't it? I don't know if you have much experience of harvesting or seeing fields as they are being harvested, but today's economy and today's attitude in business as well as in agriculture is to milk every penny out of everything you possibly can get. And in all honesty, that was the same principle that people outside of God's laws, God's decrees, would have operated by, because that's the thing that makes the most sense. You get the most profit the more you harvest every inch of your field. And God says, do something visibly different in my kingdom. Harvest your fields, but leave the edges and the bits, leave some. Don't take it all. Don't grasp at everything. Be compassionate. And that's the thing that is really striking as we look at these many things in this particular chapter. But as we think about that visual thing that God was saying to do, what we see is visually God's heart. God cares deeply for those people who are most vulnerable and most poverty-stricken. And he asks us as his people who live trying to gain a character of our own which reflects God's character to carry that compassion. Not to think only of ourselves. We need to feed and clothe and look after ourselves and look after our family and those that we carry responsibility for. That's part of life. And it isn't that God's saying neglect those responsibilities. But what he is saying is don't grasp at everything. If we believe that God loves us and is faithful to us, then we believe and trust him for the things that we need. We don't need to grasp at everything. He calls us to listen to his heartbeat. And his heartbeat is for the poor and the broken, the vulnerable, and those who are despairing. One of the things that most struck me about Gemma Thomas as she started up this project was that it was compassion that moved her. She had seen things on the news about the many, many refugees escaping via the Mediterranean and kind of on the boats and then landing in Greece and all of those things. And she had a friend who was involved in a project that was taking medical aid out to Greece and going out there. And she just had this stirring in her heart. Her heart was moved. And she was saying to God, "What can I do?" And that's the thing that God does in us. If we will let his heart, his compassion for the poor. Now, it's really important for me to say at this point that God gives us compassion for one or two things that are on his heart. If he was to give us compassion for everything on his heart, it would overwhelm us. It would totally overwhelm us. And I'm not saying that every single one of us needs to go out and do something about it in this way. There'll be things that God puts on your heart. He will give you his compassion for one, maybe two, if you're exceptionally holy, maybe three things. For Gemma, this was it. God stirred her heart. He put his compassion on her heart. And she just wanted to know, what can I do? What can I do? And so then the first part of her response to that was to organise a kind of a financial thing, a gift, raising money and raising other bits and pieces of clothing and medical aid and other bits and pieces that she could give to her friend who was going out as part of this team to provide medical care, medical support to those refugees who had come and just ended up in a really bad medical position. And from that, God then continued to stir her heart. And she carried the compassion of the Heavenly Father for the refugees all the way into planning a project, working together with an organization called the Church's Response for Refugees, so that one family could be brought by Greyfriars and New Hope over from a Syrian refugee camp in agreement with the Home Office to provide a home for them, to provide community support for them, to provide education and other bits and pieces that would enable one family to have hope, to be in a safe place. And it is hard, Pat. It is just one family, one family. But it's like the starfish story where there are thousands of starfish on the beach. We can't save all of them. And so picking one up and throwing it back in the sea, what difference is that going to make? Well, it makes a difference to that one starfish. And the hope of the project is that beginning now and getting it all set up so that one family can be brought over would precipitate others, that then once we know how it works and we've seen that it can work successfully, that would happen again. It would be replicated for another family, that in turn other churches might grasp that vision, that same compassion. And so the project, and it's kind of still very much in a work in progress, the application has gone into the Home Office, is that right? Not yet. Okay. But it's it's all in process. But there is that sense of movement and of hope and of doing something that really would make a difference, would be compassion, would be life for one family in desperate need. But that action and the outflowing of that project started because Gemma grasped God's compassion. She grasped the concept of gleaning, the concept of not harvesting a whole field, but carrying, bearing, living out God's compassion for the poor by looking for those things that we can do, even in small ways, at the outside of our fields to share with those who are in need. And whatever it is that God is going to give you his compassion for, I simply encourage you, first and foremost, to ask God to give you his heart, to give you his compassion for one thing. One thing. The second part of the passage that we've picked out from Leviticus 19 is particularly about the foreigner. So the first thing is God's compassion for the poor. That's his character. That's his calling for us to emulate, to live as well. The second thing is particularly this thing from verse 33. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner among you is to be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. I am the one who's faithful. I am the one who's asked you to carry my character in yours. And so very specifically for all of us, we might not all be called to action and to take up the cause of your refugees, but we all carry a burden to carry God's character in our treatment of people who are immigrants. There's a lot of bad press. There's a lot of difficulty and struggle. There's the whole Brexit thing stemmed or spoke of a national attitude of fear and of desire to do the opposite to gleaning. The opposite of gleaning, that sense of wanting to hold on to things and to not allow others in. And I think the church has a really important response to give, not specifically about Brexit. There's far too many complicated things going on with that, and I don't mean to mix the politics with the compassion. But the sense actually of a national attitude that says we want to live out compassionately towards those who come to this country because they're in desperate risk, desperate need, and their own situations are so bad where they come from. If we watch the news, if we see what life is like for those people who maybe their homes have been completely destroyed. Maybe their communities, their jobs, all of their livelihood is gone, and it is not safe for them to be there anymore. And so what will our attitude be towards all those who come to this country looking for a hope, looking for a new life? And even if we're not called to get actively involved in doing things that are a response for refugees, we can all be praying. We can all talk about it in our various contexts, at work, in the school playground, wherever God leads you, wherever you find yourselves, speak God's compassion, speak God's heart attitude to love all of those who come to this country in need of a new life. To treat them as we would like to be treated. To care for them as though they were one of us. We might not have the same history of being refugees ourselves in Egypt or anywhere else. But we have a Saviour who does know what it's like. He himself was forced to flee for his life, aged 2-ish. Time that he then spent living in another country means that as we reflect on refugees, we reflect on Jesus himself. Our attitude to refugees in this country is the same as our attitude to Jesus himself. When Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. It's a very real sense in which how we respond, how we will speak about, how we will engage with, how we will act is a reflection of our heart and of the way in which we respond to Jesus' call to love our neighbour as ourselves. There's a video I'd like to show that just ties all these things together. It's by this organisation, the Church's Response for Refugees, which is a bit of a mouthful. But do look it up if you're interested in finding out more about this. And they are an organisation, a charity, seeking to help support the church in doing something. So that thing of kind of God's compassion, when we feel it, when we receive God's heart for the broken, there is a stirring in us that says, what can I do? And the Church's Response for Refugees offers us things that we can do, both in supporting the project as Greyfriars are starting to do, but also knowing how to pray and how to support them in other practical ways. So do have a look at that, and let's watch this video prayerfully.